If you have your Bible, you can lift it up. If not, you can just say it. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it is God Almighty in written form. And today, it will enter my heart, my mind, my emotions, my body, through the power of Holy Spirit, conforming me to the image of Jesus, to the glory of Father. Amen. Amen. You sound good. Hallelujah. All right. This is our fourth ministry session regarding the name of Jesus. Our whole focus for 2024 is beholding Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen. We've shared this many times, but it bears repetition. When your eyes are on Jesus, I tell you, you're going to win. When Peter got out of the boat, when he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. He was walking not just on the water, but on that one word that Jesus spoke. And when he got out of the boat, there was no rain, there was no wind. But it began, the wind got very gusty. The rain started to pour. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and when he did, he began to sink. But Jesus, in his grace and mercy, lifted him up. The walk back was better than the one out. Amen. So it tells us the power of beholding Jesus. If you get your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to look into circumstances, and that's the last thing you're going to want to do. If you get your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to focus on yourself. And the bottom line is, it's not going to work if you make it about you. It only works when we make it about Him. Amen? Glory to God. It only works when we make it about Him. Or you're going to get your eyes on what the devil does. He'll send something to offend you, and usually it doesn't even make sense. He'll cause things just to, you know what I'm saying? Just you can't get your eyes on anything or anyone other than Jesus. Amen? When you're looking up, that's when things work. If you get your eyes on your weakness, if you get your eyes on other people's weaknesses, when everybody else and everybody has weaknesses, rather than looking at your strengths, looking at other strengths, if you get your eyes on anything, really, the problem, rather than the provision, guys, that's when the enemy comes in. That's when the enemy comes in. But when your eyes are on Jesus through the word of God, amen, hallelujah, that's when things happen for you. Amen, glory to God. So we're talking about the name of Jesus. And we shared this many times, but let's reiterate some things. In Philippians 2, the Bible tells us that there's one name that is above every other name, and that's the name of Jesus. And it tells us that Jesus qualified to get the name above every name as a man. Obviously, as God, his name was above every other name. But he became a man, so as a man, his name could be above every other name. Glory to God. So he could be the second Adam to displace and replace the first Adam. Glory to God. So Jesus qualified to be, to have the name above every other name. Nobody else qualifies. No one. No religious leader. No one. Glory to God. Only Jesus qualified. And he's given us his name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. And we shared many times that the enemy will try to give you names contrary to blessing. He'll try to give you a name of curse, just like blind Bartimaeus. Man, Bartimaeus means the son of discouragement. In those days, if you were sick, if you were blind, you were halt, they thought you were cursed of God. So when that baby was born blind, they named him discouragement. Wow, what a horrible name given. The son of discouragement. But God has come to free us from the names that the enemy would give us to free us from names that the flesh would give us. Sometimes someone makes a mistake, and people will, they will identify that person with the mistake they made rather than they, who they are in the forgiveness of Jesus. Sometimes you make a mistake, and the devil, or you made many mistakes, we all have, and the devil will try to put condemnation on you because of your past. They try to identify you with that. And God's saying, I see you as the righteousness of who I am. Glory to God. So we need, like Bartimaeus did, when Jesus called him to himself, he threw away the beggar's cloak. He threw away the spirit of discouragement. He threw that away and entered into the name of healing, the name of wholeness, the name of blessed. And that's what we need to do. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, glory to Jesus. And we shared as well that every name bows to the name of Jesus. Every devil bows to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every curse, every sickness, every inability bows to the name of Jesus. Absolutely. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So let's now look, we're going to look at a few different things today that I think will really help us to use the name of Jesus. Because if you, I'm going to be honest with you. If you do not speak to your flesh is going to speak to you. And if you do not make a decision to overcome your flesh, whether it's condemnation, whether it's unforgiveness towards somebody, whether it's misperception towards somebody, whether it's fear, whether it, whatever it is, it will continue to speak to you and hold you in bondage. Glory to God. We have to speak to the mountain and not let the mountain speak to us. Amen? Glory to God. And the devil's always going to bring up a failure, a misperception when you missed it. But we have to make a decision. I'm getting out from underneath the oppression, the depression, glory to God, and I'm entering in to the victory. Amen? It's a decision. It's a decision. And someone says, oh, I just can't get over what this person said. I can't get over what I did in my past. I can't. Yeah, you can. You're just not doing it. If someone gave you $1 million, you said, I can't forgive this person. And someone says, you know what? If you really forgive them and bless them, I'll give you $1 million. There's not a person here or listening to my voice that wouldn't do it. I'm just being honest. It's hard sometimes. But when we enter into the Spirit through the name of Jesus, we can. And especially hard, like you're fighting a sickness. And it's been there for a long time. Might be fibromyalgia. Somebody's in a battle against cancer. And it's easy in the natural to say, you know what? I'm not sure if the victory is going to come. But we have to make a decision that it will come. Amen. In Jesus' name. And it will come quickly in Jesus' name. I know that's strong, but that's what we have to do. So, first thing the Lord wants us to see, that intrinsic to the name of Jesus is every part of the heart of God. For every virtue within God's heart, there's a name given to God. For example, Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yahweh Rapha. It literally in the Hebrew means, I'm the Lord who is your healing. God doesn't send healing. He is your healing. Amen. So the names of God, whether in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, when you see a virtue of God, it represents a part of God. It represents a virtue of God. And God gives us these names, excuse me, so we know who God is, And so we can partake of these virtues. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's give some of these, okay? Because God's order, we see that he's love. God is love. Hallelujah. You're his beloved. Beloved means one who's loved. 1 John 4:8, God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Those are two of the first scriptures I learned as a Christian. God is love. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is righteousness. Glory to Jesus. It's a Yahweh Sid Kadu. I know it sounds like a funny name, but in the Hebrew, it means God is righteous. He's so holy. God is all powerful. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go over some of these names, all right? God is our Savior. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, when you're praying with somebody, accept Jesus. How do you know that Jesus is going to manifest a new birth? Because he's the Savior of all mankind. Amen? He's not somebody that picks and chooses who's going to be saved and who isn't. He is Savior to everyone, everywhere. But we have to enter in to accepting him and receiving him as Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You always say above. The Lord, who is the God of angel armies, the Lord who will fight for you. Amen? We need to know that God will fight for us, and if he fights for us, we're going to win the battle. Amen? Glory to Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Psalm 23, which so many people know. The Lord is my shepherd. God is not there to condemn you. As a shepherd, man, he's there to convey his voice to you. It's amazing. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kathy and I went to Lancaster, Sight and Sound. They do these amazing productions of the Bible. And we went, the last one we saw was David, the life of David, very powerful. And before we went, I saw in Cornerstone, there's a lady that was one of the producers of the production. And she said, I'll never forget this, she said, we got a real shepherd, and then we had hundreds of sheep, and the way she put it, they tried out for different parts. And I'm thinking, that sounds really funny, right? You have the one sheep going, look at the other, and saying, hey, I'm going to get the main part, you know. But no, that's not what it meant. They said there's lead sheep, then there's sheep in the middle, then sheep that are not as fast, that they're followers. And when we were down there, they had sheep come in, you know, all through the auditorium. But they were the sheep, they knew the shepherd's voice, that a real shepherd. And we know our Lord's voice, and we follow him. Glory to God. And a sheep, you know, the shepherd has a club to protect the sheep. Amen? And then he has a staff with that hook on the end, because a sheep, a lamb, when they fall down, their equilibrium is very weak. And many times they cannot get up. So the shepherd doesn't condemn them for falling down. He hooks them with the shepherd's rod and picks them up. Amen? He's our shepherd. Glory to God. He's our healer, as we shared. He's a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Enables us to pray in the Spirit. Speak with other tongues. He's our protector. Psalm 91. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's the presence that makes our life worth living, like that song we sang. Yahweh Shema, the God who has a need, a desire to manifest his presence. Someone says, I don't feel the presence of God. I'm struggling entering the presence of God. Well, what we need to do is, through the name of Jesus, claim the name of Shema, the God who desires to manifest his presence. And we break the enemy trying to keep ourselves from his presence or his presence from us. Amen? So when we say, hey, I can't enter into the presence of God, no, we're buying a lie. Because we're accepting another name. No, God lives to manifest his presence. That's why worship is so powerful. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Koinonia means God has a need, a desire to be intimate with us, to fellowship with us. It goes on and on. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The devil comes against the minds of us as his children because he hates us having the mind of Christ. We need to claim the mind of Christ. Glory to Jesus. Mentally, spiritually, we need to claim it. Amen. The fruits of the Spirit. They're all the names of Jesus. It's what his heart consists of. Love, joy, peace, patience, faith, faithfulness, self-control, on and on. Amen? Glory to God. When you read in Galatians 5 of the fruits of the Spirit, man, you say, this is who I am in the name of Jesus. If you're struggling with any of those things, maybe you're struggling with being patient. Maybe you're struggling with self-control. Whatever it is, we have to enter in and say, in the name of Jesus, that virtue within the heart of God is in me, and I am going to enter into that through confessing that reality, through praising God for that reality, and acting like it's so through Holy Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, some people struggle with anger. Do you ever know any Christians that are angry? Yeah, I think all of us. Some Christians, I mean, man, they're angrier than most, some non-Christians. Smith Wigglesworth was such a great man of God. Raised, you know, 18 people from the dead. 1 million people saved. 1 million people healed. But there is a time, even when God was using him, he was struggling with anger. And he had to get alone with God, ask God to show him the roots of anger, because you got to get to the root, and then claim the reality that he had self-control. And that's how he entered into victory. Amen? But it's through the name of Jesus. The word of God and the name of God go together. We see the different names of God through the word. And then in the name of Jesus, we cast those names in. We partake of them. Okay? Glory to God. Okay. And let's go down a few more. He's deliverer. He's comforter. He's life. Glory to God. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Again, he has a passion towards us. Glory to God. He's our strength. Psalm 27:1 says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the courage when we need, when we feel weak. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory. He's our perseverance. He's our humility. He's our victory. Okay? All right. Now, with all that shared, someone says, that's great. But bottom line is, it has to work in our lives. Amen? I love Joyce Meyer's ministry. You know, everyday life. True Christianity has to work in everyday life. Amen? Hallelujah. A fruit of the Spirit is joy. Man, if you're not joyful, well, find the root of it, deal with it, amen, and enter in to receiving the joy of God within you to manifest in you. Amen? Someone says, I'm praying for joy. Well, it's not just praying for joy. It's getting to the root of which would take away your joy, and then by faith, through the name of Jesus, receiving the joy that's in you. Amen? Man, appreciating, glory to God, who Jesus is. Appreciating what we have. Appreciating the body of Christ. Appreciating the testimony that God's given you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at the reality of how we have to use the name of Jesus. We have to speak it. In Genesis 1, all of creation was in the heart of God, in the heart of Father. Everything you see and even, you know, can't even comprehend with the galaxies, the light years. I mean, it's amazing. You know, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. How's that even possible? That's how big God is, right? And it takes, man, light years, thousands of light years just to get to the end of our galaxy, the Milky Way. Wow, it's amazing. But it was in his heart. Just like victory is in your heart. But if you let the devil oppress you, depress you, and the gate was in you by you not speaking the name of Jesus, through you misperceiving God's heart, misperceiving other people, misperceiving yourself, what's in you is not going to become manifested in your life. So it was in the heart of God. Jesus saw into the Father's heart. He saw creation. He saw into the Father's heart. Through the Word of God, we see into the Father's heart. That's the whole key about the Bible. Seeing into the Father's heart, entering into the wisdom of how to enter in to what's in his heart to be manifested in your life, spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. So many people read the Bible for different reasons. Some read it out of obligation. Some people read it because, you know, they're fearful that God will judge them if they don't. And I was talking to a man years ago. He was the department chairman of a prestigious Christian college, and he was head of the Bible department. He taught Bible to thousands of kids. So we're talking, and he said, "You know what? I struggle with the Bible. I hate getting in the Bible." I'm thinking, you're the main Bible teacher for this college. What do you mean you struggle with that? He said, "I see it as a rule book to condemn me." And I said, "It's not a rule book to condemn you. It's the heart of God to free you." And it made a tremendous difference in his life. The Bible is not a rule book to condemn you. Sure, it will tell you of how to live, but that's just to show you God's love and to free you. Amen? Boy, it changed everything for him. So Jesus saw into the Father's heart, and he spoke what he saw. He said, "Let light be." Jesus spoke the world into existence out of what he saw in the Father's heart. We see that in Hebrews chapter 1. It tells us that. And Holy Spirit manifested supernaturally, in his omnipotence, what Jesus spoke. If you get this paradigm, it'll change your life. Holy Spirit will show you through the Word of God what's in Father's heart. For example, his mercy. Bible says in James chapter 2, 13, that mercy supersedes judgment. Wow. Man, you want to show mercy to others rather than judgment. It's amazing how we can judge others showing no mercy, but then when we do something wrong, say something wrong, we want mercy. You need to receive mercy for yourself and for others. Mercy is powerful. The devil says, "He did this, you did this, you did this." And God said, "Yeah, but through my blood, through my mercy, because they repented, I've taken away what was done, and it's in the sea of forgetfulness." Mercy is powerful. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. I was ministering in a real good church in Pittsburgh. And before the service, days before, I was praying for the service, and I had a few words of knowledge, and I saw a few visions. Just out of my spirit, I could see some things. Like, One, I saw this German Shepherd. I didn't know what it pertained to. And I gave it as a word of knowledge, and no one came forward. And sometimes it happens because people are afraid to come forward or whatever. But then someone came forward, and we prayed for this little boy to be healed. But someone was there from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. This little boy had cancer. And, you know, they ask you, what do you want? Sometimes it's to go to Disney World or whatever. And so this lady comes up with this little boy and says, when you said that, it touched my heart, because what this little boy wanted was a German Shepherd puppy. God knows the needs of our heart. Amen. But this other vision I saw, and you know, visions come by grace and mercy. I saw this guy coming into the service for prayer. He came for prayer. And his leg, man, it was just chewed up. It had been mauled by a dog. So this guy comes up. He had a three-piece suit on. A very astute guy. And so I said, you know, what do you need prayer for? And he lifted up his pant leg. And he said, I've had 7 surgeries. I've been mauled twice by dogs. And then he said to me real quick, but I deserved it. He said, I was a bishop over a number of churches. I committed adultery. And again, I'm minimizing adultery. It's destructive, obviously. But he said, you know, I asked for forgiveness. I repented. And I said, well, did God forgive you? He said, yeah. But he said, I felt I had to pay for it. And I said, well, that's a lie. I said, Jesus paid for your sin. Again, I'm not minimizing adultery, but I am not going to minimize the power of the blood of Jesus to forgive either. Amen? So he said, so when I got mauled by these two dogs and went through these 7 surgeries, he said, I think I paid for it already. So now I'm asking for prayer for to be healed. I said, first of all, Jesus paid for you. See, he didn't know the name of mercy. He should have said, through mercy in Jesus' name, I receive restoration. I receive victory. Amen? And worship you because you paid for this sin. Glory to God. But, you know, we prayed and God ministered to him. But that was something he put on himself. He let the devil put on him because he didn't enter into the name of mercy. Okay? So this is strong stuff. So again, when you see in the heart of God, receive it for yourself, the love of God. That God loves you as much as he does Jesus. Woo! And you speak what you see. You say, Lord, I thank you. This day I'm going to experience the love of Jesus. And when the enemy is coming in like a flood, you trust God to raise a standard against what's going on. Man, maybe, you know, you have flat tire. Maybe somehow your finances are down. Maybe this or that. And because you see in the heart of Father the love he has, you say in Jesus' name, I receive the love, glory to God, that you have for me manifested in my finances, in my life, glory to God. That paradigm's so powerful. Receive Holy Spirit to reveal the heart of God to you through the Word of God. Second, speak what you see. Third, expect manifestation. Again, forgiveness works the same way. You see the forgiveness of Jesus. So you forgive. It doesn't matter what you feel like. You forgive. And Holy Spirit will manifest what you can't do. Amen. We shared a Corrie Ten Boom's testimony many times. Forgiving someone that had hurt her sister. Okay? All right. Let's go to Romans 10:9. See, this excites me because it's reality. You can be a Christian. You can love God. But if you don't enter into this paradigm, you're not going to have victory. Okay? Romans 10:9 says this. Oh, well, let's start with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believe, therefore I spoke. It's amazing. You can believe something, but if you don't speak it, it's not going to happen. I've shared this testimony many times. It breaks my heart when I share it. We were in campus ministry, and I was sharing the gospel with a young man. He is finishing up his freshman year at the university. And as I shared the four spiritual laws with him, I could tell. He knew the four spiritual laws. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. And I said, well, do you know God loves you? He said, yeah. Do you know you're a sinner? Yeah. Do you know Jesus died for you? Yeah. So why haven't you accepted Jesus? And this church he went to was just had some weird doctrine. They believed that before you could accept Jesus, Holy Spirit had come with all these emotions and all this stuff. And I said, no, that's a lie. We confess Jesus by faith. And he said, no, I've just been taught that God has to draw me in a certain way. I said, God has already drawn you to himself. Because the Bible says in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, crucified, I will draw all men unto myself. Well, I did everything with stand on my head, and I left. And that summer, he was a really good football player. And that summer, he died in a car crash. And I trust with everything that he accepted Jesus. But you see, it's not just enough to believe. You have to speak. You can't go by your emotions. You can't go by how, if you messed up, whether you're forgiven. You can't go by if somebody's offended you, and half the time they haven't even offended you. You can't go by where it seems like God let you down. You can't go by in a certain area and you feel like he's not going to come through. We walk by faith and speak what's in our heart. I know this is strong, but I tell you what, there's a lot of people that love Jesus but never get free because they're waiting on God when God's waiting on them to speak what they know is in his heart and to stand on what they speak. Okay? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Someone say amen if you would. Amen. That's good. That's a good amen. Acts chapter 3. After God used Peter and John to raise the man that was crippled from his mother's womb, it was very interesting. They knew that they could not deny the miracle. They knew that everybody knew what happened. They knew it was the name of Jesus that did it. But they so much were in rebellion and wanting to be their own God. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Wow. And verse Acts 4:17, they said, we know we can't deny it. Wow. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Wow. That's what the devil does today. He will do everything he can for you not to speak the name of Jesus. Well, I tried that, it didn't work. No, you don't try God's word. You do God's word until it does work. Amen? Well, somebody else I knew, a strong Christian, that didn't work for them. Hey, you're not accountable for somebody else, you're accountable for you. Glory to God. So they threatened them and said, man, we're going to kill you if you speak the name. And Peter and John, their response was, and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God and hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. But we cannot but speak the things which he have seen and heard. So they threatened him the more, Jesus. But they said, we will not stop speaking the name of Jesus. The more the name's in you through the word, the more you have to speak it. But the devil will do everything he can for you not to speak it. Well, that person's not worthy of forgiveness. You know, if God really was for me, you know what? That he would help me in this situation. No, you break the lie and speak the name. The way you get free is breaking the lie and speaking the name. Amen? Whew. Well, they went back. And this is where you get Acts 4:29. There's a Christian music group called Acts 4:29. And here's what they said. Well, let's start with verse 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, and they killed and did whatever they wanted to do. Even as they killed him, now they're threatening to kill us. But we ask that you will give unto your servants the boldness that we might speak thy name. Isn't it interesting? They did not ask for protection. They asked for boldness. Wow. Because they were willing to die for the name. But when they entered into boldness and God saw their boldness, he protected them. Amen? Boy, that'll preach right there. They said, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Jesus. Now listen to this, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. And it says that thousands were added unto them, and great power, signs and wonders came. We have a choice to speak the name or not speak the name. We need to ask for grace to speak the name. There may come a time where Christians are imprisoned in our nation and they're going to ask you, will you deny the name of Jesus to be let go, or are you going to continue to speak the name? Now you're going to have a choice. We need to speak the name of Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus, it will put you in a place that you will never deny him. Someone, I think Kathy was telling me, someone said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? That's pretty strong, isn't it? We need to speak the name. We need to speak the name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this is on my heart. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but go with me to Romans 6. Romans 6 is so powerful. Glory to God. Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. There's so much here. Ooh, man, it's hard. You can almost read the whole chapter. It says in verse 3, know ye not that as many as were immersed into Jesus Christ were immersed into his death? That as we were buried with him unto death, we now are risen with him unto newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now listen to this. Knowing this, that our old man, the part of you and the part of me, in our flesh, it's not in our spirit. It's what used to be that the devil wants to make real is that to us now, like we've never been born again. Our old man has been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If then if we're dead, we're freed from sin. But if we're dead from sin, we believe we also shall live with him. Knowing that as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, he knows more death did not reign over him. Now here's what we want to enter into. It says, reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, we need, when it's hard and it doesn't seem like it's working. Man, I was ministering to a guy, a professor, and he had been hurt by, I believe it was his mother, growing up. And he said, I just can't forgive her. And we're walking around the track. I said, you can forgive her. Because the Bible says you can. Because the Bible says the part of you that says I can't has been destroyed, and God has imparted unto you the reality that you can. And you have to make a choice either to believe that or let the devil keep you in bondage in this area. This idea that I can't is a lie. Romans 7 is the man that's not under grace, living by his own strength. The things that I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. But we've been delivered from that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through Romans 8, through Philippians 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God. So what happens is this. God is telling us, walk by faith in the reality of who God says you are. Now this is strong. Let's give some examples. We've been talking about unforgiveness. We've been talking about condemnation. Let's just say someone's struggling. We talked about anger. Let's say someone's struggling with pornography, sexual sin. Don't buy the lie that God doesn't have provision for that. Here's the deal. When thoughts come in your head, again, get to the root of it. Maybe you've been harmed, and out of that comes an atypical desire and because of harm or whatever. Well, deal with it. Let God make you whole. But when thoughts come, glory to God, the Bible says to crucify the flesh. What's that mean? You say, this part of me has, it died through Jesus Christ. I don't have those desires. Someone say, how can you say you don't have those desires when you feel like you do? This is what the Bible's all about, walking by faith. Man, Elijah, it had not rained for 3.5 years. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. There was no sound of abundance of rain. It was not just positive thinking. It was the reality that in the heavenlies, there was rain. We need to walk according to who the Bible says we are, whether we feel like it or not, whether it seems like it's working or not, until it does. Jesus, I know it's strong. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No. You say, that's not who I am. I can do all things from Christ. For me to live is Christ. Christ doesn't struggle with pornography. Never did. Never will. For me to live is Christ. You keep quoting that. Because you see it in the Bible. And then Holy Spirit will manifest what you're speaking. You can't change yourself. You can't give yourself victory. You ever try to crucify yourself? Get one nail in, but how are you going to get the other nail in? You can't do it. But through the Word of God, through the power of Holy Spirit, through the name of Jesus, you can. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is where victory comes from. Hallelujah, Jesus. Man, when I was a very young Christian, there's a young man helped lead me to the Lord. And he was dating a girl. They were both in high school. I was in high school at the time. It was the summer after, because I got saved at the end of my senior year in high school, end of May. And It was one of the last days of school. And two guys, you know, drove his girlfriend home. They lived in different school districts. And the one guy was drunk. She didn't know it. And he crashed, driving under the influence. Him and his friend survived, and she died. And this guy was a really tough kid. Really tough kid. And what do you do? I mean, in the natural, he would try to kill these kids, for real. So I never forget, there was a, it was more than a street fair. It was like a fireman's carnival in East Pittsburgh in Springdale. And we were passing out tracks, and here's these two kids. And here's my friend. I'm thinking, he's going to kill these kids. And they're walking towards him. He's walking towards them. And the love of Jesus came on him. The mercy of God. And he forgave them and led them to Jesus. Wow. You can't do that in the natural. But we're not in the natural. Amen. We could do all things through Christ. But we have to take a stand. Man, we need to be rowdy. I told somebody we need to raise hell. Not R-A-I-S-E, like we used to do before we were saved, but R-A-Z-E. Destroy the works of hell. People get more angry when they don't get their burger their way than they do when the enemy's bringing havoc in their life. Man, somebody doesn't get their burger their way. You forgot to put extra cheese and pickles on my burger. Oh my gosh, it seems like somebody stabbed them. I need to talk to the manager. First of all, what took so long? Where's my pickles? Where's my extra cheese? Man, if we would treat the devil like that, we'd have victory over him every day. Amen? People get more angry that they don't get their pickles and cheese than they do when the enemy is trying to destroy their family. Thank you for that, amen. Amen. That's the truth. We need to get angry at the devil, angry at the flesh that would try to get hold of you, angry at the world that's trying to destroy our kids, through the name of Jesus, and stand until the flesh bows. Stand until those things of the past are gone. Stand until victory comes. Because again, Christian means being like Jesus. The reason the word is given us is to show us that Holy Spirit's in us to give us the power that Jesus had and to show us through the word the heart of God. Man, we need to get, honestly, we need, when we pray, enter into a place of declaration. And we tell the flesh, you will not have victory over me. Someone says, I get a migraine every night. Well, in Jesus' name, you go to the word, 1 John 3:8. Every work of the enemy has been destroyed. You begin to see the heart of God, the price that was paid for you. And you begin to see that God shows you his heart. So you'll speak. God needs your agreement. When you speak, you're giving him your agreement. Man, and you claim, this headache's been destroyed. This migraine, I've ever been destroyed. No, it's not by willpower. It's not by, we're talking by grace. We're talking about entering in through the name of Jesus. And maybe sometimes you start out and it gets worse. But you continue and you continue and you continue. And glory to God. I guarantee you what you speak out of seeing Father's heart through the word, it will be confirmed. Glory to God. But you got to let the devil know you mean business. Terrence Smith, he said something I'll never forget. He'll be here in June. He ministers strongly. Most of you know him, you know, prophetically. But he said something that's so good. He said, even if you want it, if you can do without it, you probably will. And I thought, that is really strong. Even if you want it, if you can do without it, you probably will. That's strong. I want revival. I can't do without it. I want to enter into the victory because I can't do without it. I can't stand sin separating me from Father. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. I believe you're here because you have a passion to enter into God's will for your life. Glory to Jesus. And sometimes there's going to be failures before success. You might fall down because you let emotions get to you. But God's going to lift you up. Amen? Because he knows as you continue to cry out, you continue to seek God, it's going to happen. Back in the day, many years ago, I was teaching at Clearfield High School. And we bought there's an old building we're renting. And most of the guys, there's about 10 of us, and then their wives. And we fixed that building up really nice. And so the borough was afraid that we're going to use it for drugs. They didn't know us. And then I went and I said, I'm a teacher at the high school. Bernie's the head of an insurance agency here. And they said, okay, all right, we're going to let you use this. It was like a coffee house for kids. And they said, by the way, again, they thought we were going to use it for drugs, right? We were so naive and so young. They said, what are you going to name this place? And we said, High Places, out of Isaiah. Who would say that, right? High Places. Anyways, that's what we named it. But there was a group of us, and I could tell you a lot of stories. Man. But we would cry out to God. We would cry out to God. I mean, for things to happen. I mean, one time I was praying at the coffee house, and Kathy was home with the kids, but she was praying, and they crashed a drug party, and a lot of people got saved, drug addicts, and I baptized them in the swimming pool. And not everybody just grew in Jesus. One guy baptized, he ended up robbing a bank with a gun, stealing $37,000. That does a lot for your ministry. How's things going? Everything's good except, you know, so-and-so robbed a bank. Other than that, it's going okay. I tell you what, long story short, God was very merciful. Because when I visited him in the jail in Pittsburgh, I mean, God was merciful to him. He had a lot of issues. But we'd cry out to Jesus to see signs and wonders. Acts chapter 4, they said, Lord, man, we will follow you. Just make it real to us in our lives. Let your presence be real. Let signs and wonders be real. Man, cousins, just walk with us. And we will follow you. We will speak the name. So there's a friend of mine. His name is David Gable. He's very involved in Willie George's ministry over the years in Oklahoma, Tulsa. In fact, we visited that church when we went to a camp meeting years ago. And they have a magazine. And I saw in the magazine, it was so neat that David started to enter into signs and wonders. And I called him. I said, it's amazing the testimony I shared with you. He said, yeah, that's because we sought God for signs and wonders and now they're manifesting. He was in a certain country and in South America. And they were sharing the gospel. And there were a group of people that were very militant. And they were going to harm them. And so David and a group of there's some younger people, teenagers, and other leaders. They just started to pray in the Holy Ghost. And David just started to pray in other tongues. I mean, just loud. And all these people dropped their guns and got on their knees. And David said, well, what happened? Well, he had no idea what he was praying. But he spoke to them in their own language about the goodness and love of God and the power of God. That's a sign and a wonder, isn't it? Glory to Jesus. But I shared that to say this. It didn't seem like it was happening. Every time you pray, every time you confess the word, whether it looks like it or not, the Bible says with faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Why? Because see, signs and wonders are part of the heart of God. Jesus died so the signs and wonders he did, we would do. Not because of who we are, but because of the name of Jesus that we use. Isn't that exciting? See, that's what it says in James 5, 14 and 15. Anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Elders are people that have character and can pray the prayer of faith. Anoint with oil, that's power of Holy Spirit, in the name. In the name. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. Glory to God. God's saying today, what's in your heart that you know? Speak it. Keep speaking it with expectation. For when you speak it, it will surely come to pass. Okay? Because the name of Jesus will be validated. And when you speak it, you continue speaking it, you're telling God, I cannot do without it. I cannot live in unforgiveness. I cannot live in self-condemnation. I cannot live in inability. I cannot live without doing the works of God. I cannot live without your presence. And I'm going to enter in, not through willpower, but by seeing the amazing love that you have for me and what my inheritance is. And I will speak the name to glorify you and let what you died for be partaken of. To let what you died to give me be accessed, be received in Jesus' name. Okay? Glory to God. Father, we give you praise and worship. Anybody listening to my voice right now? And you say, I believe, but I'll accept Jesus later. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you might not have a later. If it's in your heart, you know he died for you. Right now, just say, Jesus, I'm not going to be foolish and wait. I give you my life. I repent of my sins. Come into my life. If you do that, if you've done that, the number on your screen, please call. We'll give you material free of charge to help you. And those of us here today that are believers that love God, speak what's in your heart. Speak of the Jesus that you see. And do not let the devil talk you out of it.